From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is made in how we live and live with one another. And if we can be honest for a moment, we can recognize that community living options are changing. They're evolving for many decades in this country. People with various needs and different abilities, developmental disabilities, there has been a little bit of a limitation in what is available for housing, for living situation. Sometimes it's institution, sometimes group home, but a lot is changing. And Lifetime Assistance, who happens to be the largest developmental disabilities agency in Monroe County, has just completed a two-year pilot that is aiming to really improve this process, help people with different abilities successfully transition out of group homes and supervised residential facilities and live independently, if they want to give them this option. This hour is a great opportunity to meet some wonderful people, some that we see back here, some new faces, and we're going to talk about what Lifetime is doing and what's happening. And we want to tell you that this interview is part of WXXI's Inclusion Desk, spotlighting issues related to disabilities. The WXXI Inclusion Desk is part of Move to Include, which is a partnership to encourage thoughtful discussion about issues of inclusion and the differently abled. I will say hello to our guests here. Corey Peels is back. It's nice to see you back here, Corey. We had a conversation. How long has it been since I last saw you? Like a year or two? Time flies.
Yes, it does. Well, it flies very fast.
Well, it's great to see you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And Corey's mother is Carolee. Carolee, it's great to see you. Thank you for being here as well.
Oh, thanks.
Across the table is Luther St. Joy, who is a resident of the Francis apartment that we're going to be talking about. Luther, nice to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Nice to meet you, too. Thanks for having me.
Also here is Whitney McIntyre, who's Housing Transition Coordinator for Lifetime Assistance. Whitney, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And Nancy Ballaron is Director of Lifetime Assistance's Residential Services and Supports Program. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
Whitney, can I just start with, you know, there are a lot of smiles around the table, and I already saw Luther this morning, jumped on Twitter, let everybody know you're coming over here, and we got a great story to share. There seems to be a lot of joy.
Yes.
Oh, you're Luther St. Joy.
That
was not
like
intentional,
that?
Luther. That was not intentional. Not intentional. But there does seem to be a lot of happiness about this opportunity, about what's going on. So why don't you take me through the intention and how this has all kind of come about?
Okay, so the two-year piloting program that we have been working on is for community-based housing. So we have talked to people that were looking for residential opportunities on LAI's waiting list. We've also worked with some folks living internally on different options. And Luther actually came to us from the wait list, was looking for some different opportunities. And we brought him in. We kind of find out what he was looking for. He moved into our certified residences, kind of bounced around a little bit, getting to know the different levels, the supervised versus supportive living, and now he's out on his own, which he would say was his target, what he wanted to do, and that's what we're doing. And it's just been a lot of fun working with him and doing shopping and getting him settled into his first apartment.
There's some great pictures of Luther going through that process. And before I jump into him with jump into his story with Luther, tell us what the Francis apartments are. I mean, kind of set the picture for us here.
So the Francis apartments are affordable housing. Lifetime Assistance is managing 14 of the 56 units. So I am going in and just making sure they're receiving the services that they need. They're paying their rent. You know, they're actually doing things that they want to do as well. And I just kind of oversee all of that. The apartments are, there's about 8 buildings. There's a community building, which the laundry facilities are in, which Luther has used so far. They have a playground because it is, some families are moving there. So there's 1 bedroom, 2 bedrooms, and 3 bedrooms. And we have them spread out through all the 8 buildings.
So Luther, can we talk about your story?
Yes.
You're 24 years old now, is that right?
Yes, I am.
And you were you born in Rochester?
Yes, I was born in Rochester.
Okay. And so kind of take me through, you know, your background a little and what led you to the Francis apartments here.
So a couple years ago, I was living in a group home on Pinnacle Road in Pittsford, and prior to that, there was a lot of waiting going on for, and I actually waited 3 years for an apartment, well, not an apartment, but like for a residential placement. And prior to moving to Pinnacle Road in Pittsford, I actually got a letter in the mail, and the letter in the mail actually stated about the transition that Whitney and people wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I actually got a letter, And then I moved into Pinnacle Road. And then from Pinnacle Road, I moved to Heberly and Irondequoit. From Heberly and Irondequoit, I moved to Culver and Irondequoit. I'm sorry, City of Rochester. And then after Culver Road in the City of Rochester, I moved to a supportive apartment in the town of Greece. And finally, I moved, here I am, Francis Apartments in Sweden.
What's that like?
Living in Francis Apartments is awesome. The apartment is very spacious. The apartment has air conditioning and lots of amenities. One of them includes a patio or a balcony. I actually appear to have a balcony. And the bathroom is very spacious. And there's a walk-in closet. So every room is very big. That same apartment in Brockport that would cost $500 or $600 costs in the City of Rochester $1,000 or up to $2,000. And I think that many people take that for granted.
So it's right in line with what you need there. And how does that compare to where you've been? You kind of gave us the list of the many stops that you've made in recent years. How does that compare?
So on Pinnacle Road, it was a group home. And when I first moved into Pinnacle Road, I did not know what to expect. I did not know how things were going to go. I was nervous. I did not know what to do. I just had mixed feelings. But once I started to get used to the group home, after hanging in there and holding on tight, I finally ended myself up in Heberly Road in Irondequoit. And when I got to Heberly Road in Irondequoit, it was a supervised apartment. And when I got there, it was a whole different level, but still, it's like a half group home, half apartment. That's how I looked at it. And then I moved into a same level supervised apartment in the City of Rochester on Culver Road. Now, equally they were nice. The town of Irondequoit treated me very well. In fact, even the police chief knew of Heberly Road in Irondequoit. And I have to say, it was a great journey. Met a lot of people along the way, most notably being Mayor Lovely Warren. And when I brought up the fact that Mayor Lovely Warren's husband, Tim, used to work for Lifetime Assistance, she knew of it.
Oh, that's so cool.
Luther, can I just point out that the first house that you moved into had 12 people there, and you were in a double bedroom, and so it was an adjustment for you.
It was a huge adjustment, yes.
And then the subsequent houses at the road in Heberly and also in the Culver Road apartments had 6 people?
Yes.
And less supervision, so you continued to work your way up that.
Yes, and then I went to a supporter for a month.
And
here I am.
And a supportive apartment is where there's probably about 10 hours of supports a week, and living in an apartment in any other apartment that you or I would live in.
Yes.
Okay. And I guess I have to read Luther's Twitter bio, by the way, which is awesome.
Yes.
So Luther on Twitter, this is the bio that he's got for himself. It's got multiple here. Person with autism, a master communicator and a tech lover, soon-to-be web show host, I'm kind to others, and did you know that my tweets are my very own? I love
yes.
that.
Thank you. So a little bit more about my personality when it comes to Twitter and Instagram
yeah.
and all those other social networks. So let me tell you a little background of it, and I'll get right into the whole meat of it. So I first started social media when I was the day before I turned 18 on November 4th, 2010. And then the following 2 months, I started Twitter. At first, I made my Twitter private because I did not know what to expect. Years later, here I am with more than, 1,000-something followers and counting. And today I've been tweeting. I've been posting stuff on Instagram, posting stuff on Facebook and Snapchat. And I love what I do. I really do. And also coming up soon, I'm going to have a meet and greet for those interested, I can explain more. But going back to the whole bio, I love technology. I love to write. I love to talk, and I love to be out there a lot.
Do you want to talk a little bit about your MCC experience?
So I was at MCC, and I still am, but I'm still taking a break from school, and I love MCC a lot. Now, at first, I was there solely to get a skill, like a skilled for the office, to offer an employer. And eventually, after a family member in Los Angeles was looking forward to me going to college out there, like one of the Cal State campuses or the UC campuses like UCLA or UC Berkeley, her working for a very big office, the Chancellor's Office of the Cal State University, that's what wanted me to pursue a degree in journalism. And to this day, I am a liberal arts student. The difference is that I'm still taking a break. I'm taking my time in school, but I love it.
It's a great story. And soon to be webcast host, you're a fan of podcasting and hosting?
Yes, I am a fan of podcasting and web hosting. So I've attempted to make websites, so that's one. But as far as podcasting, right now, very soon, I plan to host my own web show. But right now, that's up in the air because of my stuttering and all that fun stuff.
Can I just tell you? You're an absolute pleasure to talk to. You've got a beautiful radio voice, and I wouldn't change a thing.
Aw, thank you so much.
I mean that totally sincerely. Don't change a thing.
Thank you. And you know, the fact of the matter is I plan to do podcasting and host my own webisode. It's just where I'm going to plug in that time. I don't know, but I just don't give up. And that's my advice to people who want to be where I'm at. Number one, don't give up. And if there's anything important that I would give to people, always be yourself. I mean, just be yourself, and that's all there is to it. Because you are who you are. Just be yourself.
Well, Luther, it's just so great to hear your perspective, and you're such a positive person. I just want to ask you one more question, because you've had this opportunity through Lifetime now. You know, you're living at the Francis Apartments. You're making plans. Have you thought much about your future? I mean, what is the ultimate goal here? Are you feeling like you're kind of moving into the ultimate goal right now, or do you have other plans?
To answer your question, yes, I am moving into the ultimate goal.
That's great.
But there is a couple other things, and that is just recently I got a job offer through City Sense. That's on East Avenue. Prior to that, I was a volunteer at St. John's Home and a volunteer at the Jewish Home. So now that I'll be working for City Sense on East Avenue here in the city of Rochester, I plan to do some work on social media, on podcasting, grant writing, press releases, something that someone with a journalism degree would normally do, but actually, thanks to some college experience and some other experiences, I actually got the job because me and somebody in the name of Danny Polidor were very good friends. And so I have to credit my MCC experience, and I also have to credit my Lifetime assistance experience. And so now that you know, just going through LAI for a couple of years kind of got me rise to the occasion, something that I wouldn't get to do before. And here I am, just looking back saying, wow, I made it this far.
Yeah, that's great.
And I think you said something yesterday that you've crossed the finish line.
Yes, I did cross the finish line, and here I am.
Well, and I actually do want to ask you one more question just based on that Twitter bio that I loved.
Yes.
The first thing you wrote is person with autism. You know, and I I admire that. We haven't even talked about autism with you directly, but you identify yourself immediately with that. So let me just ask you how that, you know, do you think much about that anymore? How that impacts you day to day, week to week, if at all?
I don't think about autism anymore. I don't really think about being a minority anymore, because being myself, whether I'm autistic, whether I'm black, whether I might be a different orientation, it doesn't really matter what happens to me as in any minority category. I know for fact that I am who I am, and that's even I'm proud to show it. And I will tell you a couple more examples besides the autism. Mm-hmm. Being a different skin color doesn't make me any different. It just doesn't. And as long as you just be respectful, and you come up to people and be friendly and polite, people have very big prejudices against African Americans, and that's very sad. And then one more thing I want to mention, mm-hmm. and just to warn listeners, it might be offensive a little bit, but I'm going to say it anyway. Like being questioning of an orientation, or being just loving someone, like I'm a man and I could love someone of the same gender.
Nothing offensive about that.
Offensive about that.
No.
And it's very sad to see people prejudice about it. But it doesn't matter who I love, because I still think about every day who I love and everything. And sometimes I'll think about different things. And then at the end of the day, you know, there was one thing. You know, the fact of the matter is, I am who I am. I am myself. And, you know, that's just the nice thing about...
That's more than enough.
Yes.
And I think, Luther, you do a great job of modeling that to other people, and the respect that you have for other people's diversity as well.
Yeah. Yes, I believe in diversity. What more can I tell you?
Well, Luther St. Joy, it's a great story. He's a resident of the Francis Apartment, and if you're just joining us, this Move to Include conversation is talking about what Lifetime Assistance has been putting together for people like Luther. What does that mean to you to hear stories like that? I mean, he's awesome.
He is awesome. It's definitely worth coming to work every day to meet people like Luther and get them where they want to go. So it's definitely a very fun job.
And again, how many apartments at the Francis Apartments?
There's 56 units total, and we manage 14 of them.
Okay, and are they filling out? How's it going here?
They are full, yes. They have rented out all of the apartments. The units, as the buildings go up, we fill them. So we have about four. Monday will be four buildings full, and then the others will come by the end of August. Everyone will be in there.
And can I ask both Whitney and Nancy from Lifetime Assistance to kind of speak, because in our second half hour, we're going to get a chance to talk to Corey Peels and Carolee and talk about Corey's plans. And I feel like I know you so well already, but I'm excited to hear more here. But I want to ask Whitney and Nancy to speak sort of more generally about this, the change that has been, and sometimes it feels quick and sometimes it feels slow in this country, the change towards recognizing the value in independent living and the support services, as opposed to, boy, if you go back a generation, or especially two generations ago, there's a lot that I think is borderline shameful. But now we have more opportunity out there. And I want, can you both speak about the value of that?
Well, first of all, I think you said it right there. We have hit a lot of barriers in this process. We've started it 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we have run across barriers every step of the way. And the barriers are really the attitudes of people, and not thinking that a person can do what they can do, and not... I hate to use the word allow, but allow people to try. And, you know, Whitney's great about talking about the risk, and I'll let her talk about that. But that's really what the change has to be, is people's ideas of what a person with a disability can do. Not what mm-hmm. they can't do, but what they can do.
Yep. So allow them to have the dignity of risk to go out there. And, you know, it's okay to fail. We've all failed at something. And to know that they have supports to help bring them back up and shoot for another goal, another target, that's what we like to make sure we tell people, that it's all right. As long as you give it your best and we try it out, we want to make sure you do what you want to do and live where you want to live.
Go ahead, Nancy.
No, I was just going to say, you know, part of our process is really sitting down with a person. Like, Luther's journey has taken him 2 years to get through, and that's okay because we knew that Luther wasn't right where he came into us. He wasn't in the place that he needed to be for his quality of life and for what he wanted to do out of his life. So it took 2 years, and that's okay. And it isn't just about putting a person in a place that we have opened. It's about finding a place and providing the supports around Luther or Corey or anybody else. So,
and have I read, is it possible that this kind of living setup, that this kind of project could become a model, that we could see more of this elsewhere, Nancy?
Yes, I hope we see many, many more. So, you know, pushing the supports in of what a person needs rather than just putting them somewhere, and that's what it's all about.
Whitney, yep. Agree with that?
Agree, completely.
So we're talking this hour to a number of guests. We've got a packed studio, and I see the phone ringing. Listeners, you can certainly weigh in if you like at 844-295-TALK. That's toll-free, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can also email the program, edawson@wxxi.org, or you can find me on Twitter, at Evan Dawson. This interview is part of WXXI's Inclusion Desk, which spotlights issues related to disabilities. The WXXI Inclusion Desk is part of Move to Include, a partnership to encourage thoughtful discussion about issues of inclusion and the differently abled. In our second half hour, we're going to re-meet Corey Peels, and we're going to talk to Corey and Carolee. Corey is going to be moving into the Francis apartment in August, is that right? So
yes.
Coming up here.
Yes.
So that's coming up. So we'll hear Corey's story, and if you haven't heard it already, she's one of the most positive energy people I have ever met. So every time I see her name on the guest list, I get excited. We'll talk about that coming up here. And in just a moment, when we come back as well, I'm going to welcome my colleague Karen Chakurji to the studio just to let you know about some things that WXXI has coming up for this fall. So all of that coming up after our only break of the hour, and let's do that right now on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Monday on The Next Connections, Al Gore is back in the spotlight in the climate debate with his new film, An Inconvenient Sequel. But is he the right person to lead this debate? Does it become unnecessarily politicized? We look at the impact of Al Gore and politicians in climate change discussions. Then in our second hour, an opera intervention. Are you someone who just doesn't get opera? We're going to see if that can change. Talk to you Monday. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. My colleague Karen Chakurji has popped over from the newsroom because as we continue this Move to Include discussion, the Inclusion Desk and Move to Include and WXXI has got some very interesting things in the works. Karen has been sharing little dribs and drabs with the newsroom over time, but
right.
I think I'll just hand it over to you to kind of give us a sense for what you're working on for the fall.
Yeah, so we have spent the past couple months working quite a bit on a podcast that we're very excited about that we're calling Exited. And basically what it's going to be is a series of stories, long-form stories, so we get to really know the people that we're spending time with. And we're tagging along with them as they go through this time of transition and specifically leaving school and kind of trying to figure out what they're going to be doing next. So we're very excited about it and should be out later in the fall.
I had a chance to, Karen has shared some of the sounds of the interviews and some of the images they've been capturing. And when you mention long form,
yep.
You know, you get such a better chance to really understand somebody's story. And this is where I think, Karen, for me as someone, everybody kind of, we go through life and sometimes you end up in your own bubbles or your head's down, you get in this routine and you don't
very
really
true.
See outside of that.
Sure.
And so for those of us who are not living with a disability or immediately with someone with a disability, then it's easy to maybe read a news story but not really understand what the experience is like.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think long form, don't you find it just so much richer and more compelling to actually absorb what life is like?
Yeah, I mean, having just that space to hear somebody express themselves in more than not knocking this, but in more than 10 or 15 second sound bites, you actually get a minute to try to wrap your head around, you know, what is the emotional experience of what this person is going through right now? You know, whether or not it's enjoyment or a challenge or something that they themselves are trying to understand about their own lives. So I think having that space is something that I'm super excited about. Yeah.
Exited is what it's called.
That's right.
And launching in November.
Correct.
officially? Is there a date for that?
I think we just made it official.
Because people are listening. And doing, how many, do you know how many total podcast episodes will be for that?
We are thinking about 6 right now. Mm-hmm. Don't hold me to that.
No, that's okay. But the work has been great. Thank you for coming in and tell us about that.
Thank you for having me.
We look for that Exited coming up, and you will hear much more about that as we get closer to the fall. That's our colleague Karen Shikurji from WXXI News. If you're just joining us, we're talking about Lifetime Assistance's independent housing opportunities for people with developmental disabilities, and the goal is improving quality of life, you know, certainly bringing costs down where they can, but also giving people like Luther, who we just met, this wonderful opportunity to live independently, to live life in the way that they see it for themselves. Before we hear Corey Peel's story, I want to grab a phone call. Gary in Rochester has a question, so go ahead, Gary.
Hi, Evan. Thanks for doing this show.
Sure.
I appreciate the fact that hopefully as a society we're moving more to a point where every life has worth and dignity. And I have a question for Luther. As somebody who has lived their life as in an auto-centric society, that is, you know, we depend on our cars, I noticed like one of the city council candidates running has made transportation a primary issue. And not all of us understand like how difficult transportation can be. And I'm just wondering if Luther can explain any of the challenges he faces going to school, going to work, the doctor, and what kind of responses they get from government and, say, public transportation. You know, and if you could just, like, talk a little bit about that, I'd be interested in hearing that. Thank you.
Gary, it's a great question. And speaking of transportation, Luther is on foot for, I think, a cup of coffee. And he'll be back in just a moment. So, Gary, we'll relay that to Luther. But in the meantime, I think Nancy and Whitney can address that because there are broader implications, and it's a great question.
Sure. As far as transportation for Luther, who lives in Brockport now and has to still connect with the city and everywhere around him, he takes the RTS bus. He is a big fan of Uber and Lyft, so I'm sure he will take that. Since
that was fast, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's been right on the
watch.
Yes, he has been right on the watch. So he also has a community rehabilitation staff that assists him in becoming more independent, learning the skills needed to get out in the community. He walks a lot within the community of Brockport. And if she needs to help transport him to an appointment, to, you know, some kind of recreational event, she's there or he's there as well to help. So there are a lot of options for him as far as helping him transport or get to different places. But he is a big RTS fan, so.
Okay, and he's coming back in here. Luther, we were just talking about you. So we'll let him grab the microphone as well here. But Whitney, I think Gary's question reminds us that we take a lot for granted. And
yes.
Transportation, you know, for Luther and his friends, so important to have those options.
Yeah, very important. And that's actually one of the first things I ask the family and the person that we're working with is, how do you get where you need to go? Because I'm not going to look at places, you know, somewhere where you can't get to. So it's one of the big things that we look at first. And we're hoping that we can get more, you know, bus lines out in all different directions to make this more accessible for people.
Yeah, so Gary's question, Luther, was just about the importance of transportation options. And I think embedded in Gary's question is the implication that we can do better to make sure people have more options, people from different backgrounds can get to where they need to go, and that if we truly want to prioritize equality, that will improve. But let me just ask you, you know, how do you get around most of the time?
So right now, and I'll emphasize on Gary's question in just a moment.
Yeah, go ahead.
I get around by walk. So like right now from my apartment, I walk from my apartment to Route 31. If I have to go to Sweden where Wegmans and Walmart is, or I go from there to South Avenue to get to the Village. And sometimes the walk can be right now a little bit daunting, and I actually can walk like after Lowe's is at the intersection. There's a bus stop, but even that bus stop runs Monday through Friday, and that's it on the weekday doesn't run that much. So with that being said, I did talk to the town of Sweden regarding the sidewalks, and they couldn't do it. And pretty soon I already wrote a letter to the town of Sweden, and now I'm going to be I'm hoping to speak to the town board about it. And once I speak to the town board about it, if the town supervisor can do anything to put sidewalks along the road, because that's another thing, because that the cars, the tractor trailers, the trucks, they go at an unbelievably high rate of speed, like 45 miles an hour on that on Owens Road. And 45 miles an hour is like nothing different than riding on, what, 490 downtown or something like that.
Yeah,
so,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and I know that you're excited about Uber and Lyft coming into town too. So
actually, it's already in town.
Right. All right, I'm a week behind.
Well, okay, so Gary, I appreciate that. Let me grab one more phone call, and then we're going to talk to Corey about her story. This is Bonnie in Rochester. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Yeah, hi. The only thing about Uber, watch how much they charge, because when the Jazz Fest was in, I talked to some cab drivers, and they said that Uber has been charging like triple the amount. They
surge pricing,
which is illegal. So they ought to be educated to that, so they're not made victims. Okay, that was just a comment. My main reason for calling, though, is that maybe 4 years ago, the families who have members who are disabled, somewhat more in need of a higher level of care than the folks you're talking to now. And I'm glad to hear these folks are doing really well. But in that situation, they did a demonstration at the Siegel Center. I was there. And these are families that are, have a, I would say, very a difficult situation in the level of care they had to help and provide their loved ones. Okay. The reason they were there demonstrating is because there was like a standstill in waiting lists for people who need this level, that the state keeps a waiting list. When you need a residential option, you can apply in a centralized system. but there had been almost no money put aside. And what began to happen, frankly, is that they would move some people around to a more independent situation and then kind of backfill. But that can become tricky because sometimes people don't want to move from a place, or they may have different views or whatever, like all of us. And that can be a little game that gets played. So I would like to see WXXI, and I have not. I've listened to a number of these programs. I have heard nothing about that group of people. One question would be, how many people are still on the waiting list and how long have they been on the waiting list? And a full picture of people who are in these situations, as well as people who are fortunate enough to do well in another community option.
Hey, Bonnie, before you go,
can you
email me separately about that? Because I think you're probably right. I suspect I have neglected that. And so thank you.
Well, if you don't know, it's like you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't know about every single thing. And unfortunately, this used to get a lot more press, and there's a reason. In my opinion, I won't go into it now, but there's a reason for why that isn't getting the same kind of coverage as it maybe used to. Because some of the people that were real strong advocates around these issues, the system has changed to push those in-house advocates, mm-hmm. and the system advocates away. So we can talk about that another time.
Yeah. Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you for the phone call. And please send me that email, and I'll certainly want to follow up. I don't want anybody to feel like their stories aren't told, or at least understood by the community. And you're right. Sometimes you don't know what you don't know. Let me ask Nancy and Whitney just about, waiting lists and what Bonnie's addressing there.
Whitney?
I can't give you numbers. I'm not particular about the numbers. But there is, lists. And the state is trying to prioritize those who really need or at the risk of homelessness, abusive situations. So they are taking those situations, really trying to move those folks. And she does have a point, a lot of folks who do require a lot of services. We still have, folks who are living in the homes that require those services. So, yes, we are trying to move those more independent out to make room. But, again, like she said, it's a tricky situation. You just run into it's not a right fit. They don't want to, live with 12 people like Luther was able to do. So it's but it's person-centered, and that's what we do. We focus on the person at the time, and, it might take a while, but housing takes a while, and I think people need to know that. It's sad. It's, a little scary thing for some families, but we try our hardest to move things around.
Okay. You want to add to that?
No, she's...
Okay.
She had it all.
All right. So I want to bring in Corey Peels and Carolee Peels. And Carolee is Corey's mother. Corey is moving into the Francis apartment in August. So they're sharing a microphone. But Corey, I'll start with you, and I'll bring your mom in at times here if you want. But do me a favor and get right on that microphone for me. It's nice to see you again. How are you?
Good.
Ready to move in? When are you moving in? How soon?
August 28th.
All right, so that's coming up in just about a month here. And why don't you tell me the story of your path to... Well, you can kind of go back a little bit here, and for our listeners who might not remember your story, kind of give me the story that led you to the Francis Apartments.
Back then, I lived at my mom's house, and then I wasn't ready to move out of my mom's house because it's the comfort zone and being ready to step out and not being ready to move out. And then I didn't want to talk about moving out of my mom's house. I didn't want to go to any meetings about it. I just did not want to talk about it. So that was about it. And then once we had the meeting, I wasn't looking happy about that either. And then when the time came, I moved out of my mom's house into a supervised apartment, and then I wasn't ready. I wasn't happy to have a roommate. I didn't want to do anything. I wanted to move back, and my mom said absolutely not. And
that was with love.
Yeah. Oh, well, you'll get your chance, Carolee, to defend yourself there. Go ahead, Corey.
And then I moved out of the supervised apartment in July 21st of 2013. That's where I started to live. And then for a while, I got comfortable. And then once I was ready, I wanted to have my own apartment with no roommate where I'd have to clean up.
Who wants to clean up after someone?
Nobody.
and the Francis apartment opportunity eventually became the option.
Yes.
Can I ask your mom just to kind of weigh in as well there? So, Carolee, can I ask you just when you said absolutely not, you said out of love, because it seems like you knew that this was the path that would be best for her, yeah?
I did. Before Corey moved into the supported apartment, she'd been on the waiting list with housing for 10 years. And we had looked at a couple of things, and they weren't right for Corey. But the longer Corey lived at home, and I'm not going to give away her age, because now once you get over 30, you don't want people to know about your age. But the longer she stayed at home, the more I realized that she was becoming incredibly comfortable there, and it would be harder and harder for her to move. So we really worked with Lifetime, understanding all along that this needs to be a person-centered decision. Corey wasn't at the point where she could really make the best decision for her. So we did a little convincing, and 4 years ago, she did move into the supervised apartment. 6 months after she'd been there, she said, "Mom, I'm never moving from here again. I'm going to live here forever."
Wrong.
Yeah, she was wrong. as she developed more and more independent skills, she realized that she had the potential to do a lot more. And I've known since I adopted Corey when she was 6 years old that she had a lot of untapped potential. We don't know where she can go. We don't know how much she can do, but we don't know how much any of us can do. And she keeps growing and learning. And with this opportunity at Francis Apartments, she's going to have a chance to really soar and be independent and be her own person even more than she is today.
Carolee, you said it was about 6 months after she moved in to the previous stop and said never moving. She's never going to...
Never moving again.
And that was, again, supervised residential
yes.
living, right? Was there a moment after that, I don't know how much longer it took, but before you heard her say, I can do it, I can do the Francis Apartments?
It wasn't until this last year that she, and to be really honest, even with the Francis Apartments, and she would get very excited about it, and then she would say, no, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. Corey, you can do anything you set your mind to. So we went back and forth, and then I got a phone call one day saying, you know, the deadline for the Francis Apartments is tomorrow, and we don't have Corey's application yet. Now, someone might have led me to believe that she had already done the application.
Oh.
Oops.
So yeah.
She says oops.
Oops. So we had a little conversation about it, and I said, you know, you can change your mind, but let's move, you know, think about moving forward. I told you you wouldn't move again unless it was your decision to move. Mm-hmm. So this one has to be yours. So she did do what she needed to do. And today, if you told her she couldn't move, it would not be pretty. I think she has her apartment all packed up a month ahead of time, and she's ready to go. She's That's ready awesome. To go.
Carolee, I don't know if this is sort of a kind of an awkward question, but I mean, I wonder if you've thought about what it would be like if it were 25, 50 years ago. Because of the assumption, you talk about you don't know what someone can do, you don't know what any of us can do. Generations ago, we really made assumptions about limitations and didn't really allow for that kind of growth and exploration for Corey to discover about herself that, yes, I can do this, I can live independently. Have you thought about that and what this means to the future of inclusion and opportunity?
I have. I've thought about it a lot. I adopted Corey as a single parent, and I have fought for her through the school system and through every single agency we've worked with to not set limits on her. And as I looked around at other people I knew that had adopted children, or children that had various kinds of disabilities, they just went along with the system and said, okay, this is what the system tells us. Our child can do, we'll accept what the professionals say. I wasn't willing to do that. I really pushed to make sure that Corey got everything she needed. Her fourth grade teacher, fifth grade teacher, sixth grade teacher all told me I should put Corey in a life skills program, and that's as far as she could go. She could learn to cross the street safely. She could learn how to do personal hygiene. She wasn't going to go any farther. I knew she could go farther, and I knew she could keep going farther. And she has. She worked for 2 years for AmeriCorps. She works for LAI now as a self-advocacy mentor. She's a spokesperson for Special Olympics. She's a quite accomplished ice skater. She can do anything she sets her mind to. And yes, years ago, we put limits. And today, I'm so glad that the attitude is changing so that we're not putting limits on people. And we're saying, yes, you can go farther, and you can keep going farther. And everyone has that ability. I've worked with some of the young people in Special Olympics whose stories were their parents were told to put them in an institution. Hmm. And today, they're doing marvelous things because their parents didn't listen to what the experts at the time had to say. Luckily, the experts are changing. Their attitudes are changing. Their story's changing.
Do you miss her at home?
I do miss her at home. You know, there's a lot of things Corey's did in the household that it's really hard. This sounds terrible, but I had to move my laundry upstairs because Corey no longer did the laundry, which was in the basement. And I just don't do stairs very well. So I had to move that. But we do miss her, and the neighbors miss her because she's just part of she's part of our home and our extended family. She comes back to visit frequently. She and her sister both spend a lot of time at home, especially on weekends. She's an incredible aunt. She has a 3-year-old nephew that absolutely adores her. And I do, and every now and then I think, maybe she should move. No, she shouldn't. No. We have a much better relationship, as do most mothers and daughters, mm-hmm. when they don't live together. So our relationship is much better.
So, Corey, let me just kind of close this loop by asking you what I asked Luther, which is just what you want for your future now. Because here you are. You probably, if we would have talked to you 3-4 years ago and told you this was happening, you would not have believed it, but you're doing it. Mm-hmm. What do you want for your future?
My future is to be completely independent, not having 24-hour staff telling me what to do, not being able to take Advil when I have to be, like if I have a headache and I have to tell the staff, oh, I have a headache and I need Advil. But now that I want to be more independent, but I don't want to have to have the staff tell me, well, I have to call the nurse first, and that can be a little hard. And I say, okay, well, how long would that take?
You're on your way, though.
Yes, I am. And I am planning to get a pet as my emotional support.
What kind of pet?
A kitten.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm a cat. I'm a kind of an animal person, but is animals allowed here at Francis Apartments?
They have to be either a therapy animal or an emotional support animal. So most of our folks do have animals moving in. So
cats are all about emotional support, though sometimes cats are emotionally abusive. But right. Usually they're emotionally supportive. So congratulations on everything that you're doing, Corey.
Thank you.
Every conversation we've had with you puts a hop in my step for the rest of the day because of the positive energy. I feel the same way talking to Luther St. Joy. They are resident and future residents of the Francis Apartment. Nancy and Whitney, we just got a few minutes left here. So for our listeners, just kind of paint the picture of the future of what you hope the Francis Apartments becomes, and then, you know, what Lifetime could do. You know, if this is a kind of blueprint, what happens next year? I'll start here.
Okay. Well, I definitely think that the Francis Apartments is a good modeling program to show that this is how we can create more opportunities for folks to be integrated into the community, because that's a huge piece of what we've been working on, is being a part of your community, knowing your neighbors, knowing who to ask for if you need anything, and, you know, having a couple neighbors in a close range, being in an apartment, it's nice to know who they are. So that's something really big, is, you know, we want to move you into somewhere, but we want you to know your community. And I think this is a great example, and we hope to do more and more of this and move folks out who, like Luther and Corey, you know, are in a certified site, but they might not need all of that, all of those supports all the time. They can, you know, flourish out in the community and, you know, have someone that they can call still, a staff member that they can still call upon, I think is going to be huge. And I definitely see this going farther.
Go ahead, Nancy.
I was just going to say, and one of the things that Luther did before he moved in is he hopped an RTS bus, went to Brockport and toured, learned everything that was out there, found himself a barber and friends out in Brockport, and really got to know his community so that he's comfortable moving out there. And I just, to tag on what Whitney said, is I think when we talk about independence, we don't mean we have people go out and move out and we never see them again. We're really about the support. You know, we are helping you become independent together. And I think that was our little tagline that, you know, nobody can do it alone. And we all need supports and family and natural supports and people to be able to turn to. So we're hoping that that's really our motto.
Well, I'll finish up with Luther. And I only got about a minute left here. But it sounds to me, Luther, like what they're describing is not just building a place to live, but an actual home. Sometimes a house is a house and it's not a home. What they're talking about is an actual home. Does it feel like home yet to you?
I am proud to call my new apartment at Francis at Lifetime Way home.
Yes, that's the road name. It's One Lifetime Way.
One Lifetime Way. So it feels like home.
Yes, it feels home, and I can bring guests in, and it's amazing. And what more can I tell you?
It sounds like you know your community pretty well, too. Again, you went out, you found a barber, you know how to get where you need to go for food. Though, as Luther said,
and the neighbors are very friendly in Brockport.
Yeah, it's awesome. But as Luther said, maybe transportation can always improve. But he's finding his way, and that was the goal here. So I just want to thank everyone for being here. Lifetime Assistants, for telling this story. Whitney McIntyre and Nancy Ballaron, thank you for taking the time to come in and share this story. Really appreciate it. Corey and Carolee Peels, thank you so much. A month away, boxes packed, ready to go. Corey, thank you. It's always great to see you. Thank you. And Luther, great pleasure to meet you.
Great pleasure to meet you too, Evan.
And you're going to be an outstanding broadcaster yourself, my friend. So
thank you.
I have no doubt about it.
Thank you very much.
I want to remind you that this interview is part of WXXI's Inclusion Desk, spotlighting issues related to disabilities. The WXXI Inclusion Desk is part of Move to Include, a partnership to encourage thoughtful discussion about issues of inclusion and the differently abled. John Andrus, the engineer, doing it all today. Thank you, sir. Great working with you as always. Megan Mack, producer, is on vacation. I am not, and I will be back with you on Monday. But until then, have a great weekend. Thanks for listening to Member Supported Public Radio.